Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Ray Heinisch, and I'd like to welcome you to a new episode of Cut the Fat Podcast. Now, if you've been waiting for Blythe and I to get together and do a new episode for you guys, you don't have to wait much longer, because we're going to be getting together here over the next few days to record the next podcast. In the meantime, though, I had the opportunity to interview Dr. Daniel Amen about his book, Unleash the Power of the Female Brain. In this interview, we talk about the differences between the female brain and the male brain, and how we can use that information to be able to change our lifestyle, to improve our health and our fitness. Now, we don't have a lot of time with Dr. Amen today, so let me start by giving you kind of the all-encompassing philosophy behind Dr. Amen's work. Dr. Amen believes that the reason we have great difficulty with self-discipline, willpower, and the reason we don't oftentimes make good choices is because we have sick brains, and sick brains are not able to process information, produce or manufacture willpower and self-discipline to the same extent as healthy brains. The most important part of his message is that we can literally turn back the clock on our brains. We can take a sick brain and make it healthy by making healthier lifestyle choices. And in today's interview, we're going to discuss what his system is for improving the health of the female brain. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to my guest co-host for this episode, who's going to be Dr. Jillian Tita of The Metabolic Effect, along with our guest, Dr. Daniel Amen. So you guys enjoy, and both Blythe and I will see you at the next podcast here at cutthefatpodcast.com. All right. Hello, everybody. My name is Dr. Ray Heinisch with Cut the Fat Podcast, and I'm joined here in the virtual studio by a friend and colleague, Dr. Jillian Tita from The Metabolic Effect. And together, we have the great honor of welcoming brain expert Dr. Daniel Amen, author of many books, but the most recent book, Unleash the Power of the Female Brain. So let me start by saying hello to Dr. Jillian. Jillian, you there?
Hey, Ray.
Hi. Are you ready to explore the female brain?
Let's do it. I'm excited.
Okay.
I'm very curious.
So in today's interview, we're going to dive deep into the workings of the female brain, and more importantly, how to use that understanding to make progress in your health and life. Now, if you're a guy listening to this episode, don't turn us off, because trust me, this information is important for you as well. So with that, I'd like to welcome our guest, Dr. Daniel Amen. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us as well. Why don't you start by giving us some background about your career and the work that you do?
So I'm a psychiatrist. I've been a psychiatrist for 30 years. But about 22 years ago, I started looking at people's brains. And it literally revolutionized everything that I do. So at the Amen Clinics, we have 6 clinics around the country. We have the most active imaging centers in the world, where we do a study called brain SPECT imaging. And SPECT looks at blood flow and activity patterns. It looks at how the brain works. And it really caused me to fall in love with my own brain and work to get it healthy. And in my work with patients who have things like ADD, anxiety, depression, marital problems, temper problems, health problems, weight problems, addictions, it has truly revolutionized everything I do for them. Because it's your brain that pushes you away from the table telling you that you've had enough, or it is your brain that gives you permission to have the third bowl of ice cream that makes you look and feel like a blob.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you tell us about these scans and the clinical work that you've done specifically with women, and really what motivated you to dedicate an entire book to the subject of the female brain? I mean, are there so many differences between the brain function of men and women that we have to separate how we manage women's lifestyle and wellness program versus the lifestyle programs of men?
Yes. So the motivation behind this book was several-fold, you know, as it is behind any book. The first thing is I have 5 sisters, 3 daughters, 14 nieces, and 2 granddaughters. And I loved them, and their brains are different. We did a study with 46,000 scans. So it's the largest imaging study ever done in the history of the world. And the first question we asked our database was, so what's the difference? You know, I've been scanning people for a long time, and I've known for a long time that female brains are busier and generally healthier than male brains because they don't hit soccer balls with their head as much. They don't play tackle football. They don't speed as much as men. They certainly don't get in as many fights or have as many substance abuse problems. And so when we did this study, the female brain was wildly more active in some very important parts of the brain that helped explain some of their strengths and some of their vulnerabilities. The other thing that motivated me to do this book was Mehmet Oz, Mark Hyman, and I developed a program for one of the largest churches in America, Saddleback Church, to get the church healthy. And 15,000 people signed up for our program. And over the next year, they lost more than a quarter of a million pounds. And we were so excited, but, you know, we analyzed the program, and what we found out, it was 85% of the people who signed up were women. And when women got the message of brain health and physical health, their families got better. And it really dovetailed with my own personal experience with my mother and my wife and in my practice that women are the health leaders in their families. And when mama gets healthy, everybody else tends to be healthier. But when mama is not healthy, or she has bad habits, everybody else tends to have bad habits too. And so the book was really to honor the fact that women are in charge and they need a different plan. And one more thing, when I talked about the strengths and vulnerabilities of the female brain, it was very clear from our imaging that females have stronger activity in the front part of their brains. It's called the prefrontal cortex, which is involved with things like judgment, empathy, forethought, impulse control, learning from their mistakes. And in the book, I outline what I really think is women are wired for leadership. They have stronger skills in the areas of empathy, collaboration, self-control, multitasking, and a little worry. All of those things are executive functions. In fact, the prefrontal cortex is called the executive part of the brain. Women are wired for leadership, but because of the increased activity in some areas of the brain, they have more issues with anxiety, depression. They doubt themselves more than men do. They have more issues with insomnia, pain, eating disorders, body image problems, and often they're unable to turn their thoughts off. And so if you want to unleash the leadership power in your brain, it is critical to deal with those vulnerabilities. And if you deal with those vulnerabilities, there's just no stopping you.
Now, you say that one of the first steps in unleashing the power of the female brain is to cultivate brain envy. And you mentioned that just previously. What exactly does that mean, and how do you cultivate it in specifically in women?
Well, nobody cares about their brain. It's amazing. When you actually look at our society, you know, nobody cares. We care more about our faces, our breasts, our bellies, and our butts than we do our brain. If you look at how people spend money, I live in Newport Beach, California. We're often called the plastic society because we have more plastic walking around our streets than anywhere in the world. And you have to, in order to really unleash your power, you have to fall in love with your brain, which means you think about it, you care for it. It becomes precious because it controls everything you do, how you think, how you feel, how you act, how you get along. Your brain is the organ of judgment, personality, character, and every single decision that you make. And so the first step is brain envy. You have to care. I mean, if you just think about it and how we don't care about our our brains is we let little girls hit soccer balls with their head. How stupid is that? The brain is soft. The skull is hard. The skull has many sharp bony ridges. Stop that. We let girls do dangerous gymnastic routines or ride horses where they commonly have brain injuries. Women spend hours in toxic nail and hair salons, never thinking about what the chemical exposure may be doing to their brains. So the first step is to begin to fall in love with that 3-pound fatty organ between your ears and really start to love and respect it. So that's the first step. The second step is to avoid anything that hurts it. And it means you have to learn a little bit about this. And, you know, we talked about some of it with brain injuries, obviously bad for the brain, toxic exposure, drugs, alcohol. Do not go to hair and nail salons where there is not great ventilation. But some things people would have never known, I never knew it, is that obesity, being overweight, damages your brain. There are 100 studies now that say as your weight goes up, the actual physical size and function of your brain goes down. Having high blood sugar levels or hypertension damages your brain and increases the risk for Alzheimer's disease. Having untreated depression, chronic stress, insomnia, having the standard American diet, ironic that stands for SAD, those damage your brain. People who have a carbohydrate-based diet have 4 times the risk of Alzheimer's disease. People who have a fat-based diet actually have 42% less risk of Alzheimer's disease. Or if you have a protein-based diet, you have 21% less risk of Alzheimer's disease. So if you don't exercise, that's trouble for your brain. And if you over-exercise, it's trouble for your brain. So knowing what to avoid is critical to maintaining health. And then the last step is knowing what to do specifically to optimize your brain. And the cool thing is if you do these brain healthy habits, your skin is prettier because your skin, the health of your skin is an outside reflection of the health of your brain. You know, I'm so excited to share this message because I know when women really get it, I have seen them change their workplaces, change their families, radically change their bodies and their minds.
Now, in a minute, I'd like to get into some of the things that you recommend to help make the brain healthier. But I guess I have a question for you. It's one of the questions that a lot of our clients and listeners have a tendency to ask, and that is, how do you know how much is too much? Like in your book, you talk about there was a story that you gave in reference to when you were at this party and a woman brings over, I think, a cheeseburger and fries and says, here, I got this for you. And you and your wife basically rejected the burger and the fries. And she said, well, you don't eat any of this? Like, when is it too much? Like, how do we know what, like, can we have a burger and fries once a week, twice a week?
You know, what I like is this question. If you had a $1 million racehorse, would you ever feed it junk food? Only if you were an idiot. I mean, you know, think about that. Would you ever feed an animal that you had that kind of investment in bad food? Of course not. I mean, unless you had a low IQ. So the idea, you know, it's one of those little thoughts that keep people fat, depressed, and feeble-minded is, oh, I'm just going to have this treat. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is those treats go from once a month to once a week to once a day. And you go from one treat moment to the next. So I think the smarter decisions you make consistently over time, the better your brain is and the better your body is. And you know, I hate this study we did. We did a study of 8,000 people. And we looked at what happens to the brain as you age. And damn it. You know, now that I'm 58, it's just really clear. The brain gets less and less active. with age unless you're really a warrior for your health. We have this whole group of beautiful 80-year-old brains. But when you really look at their lives, they're not cheating very much. They have the benefit of great energy and a great mood and passion for their families and their work, but they're not making many mistakes. And so I'm not a huge believer in moderation. You know, a lot of people, when they initially meet me and they go, well, everything in moderation. And I'm like, cocaine and arsenic in moderation, or having affairs in moderation are not good things. They're not going to get you what you want in life. And so when that woman, I was totally amused by the situation. This woman comes into our house at my daughter's nine-year-old birthday party. And what horrified me is I live in Newport Beach, and it's a healthy community, Orange County, California. Half of her friends were fat. I looked at them because, you know, we had a pool and they were going swimming, and I was just dumbfounded by how unhealthy these kids were. And then the mother comes in with In-N-Out, with large sodas and fries and cheeseburgers. And there was no thought behind that. So as a way to say thank you for hosting my daughter, I'm going to give you food that hurts you. And it's like, you know, there's a little psychosis in the thought process in our society. As a way to celebrate, we're going to hurt ourselves. Now, how does that make sense? And ultimately, my wife and I talk about becoming a warrior for your health. And I'm just not a big moderation person.
You know, Dr. Amen, it's wonderful when it all works together and all those pieces click. But you bring up an excellent point. You know, so many people are entrenched in whatever, In-N-Out burgers or just a treat here and there. How do we begin to talk to our patients, our family, about these changes that they can make? You know, how do you initiate that conversation with these people who are so entrenched into, well, it's not going to hurt, or every now and then it's okay?
You know, I think my job as a physician is informed consent. So my job is really never to tell people what to do. Mm-hmm. It's first to find out what's your goal. So you have, like we have people who want to come and they want to lose weight and improve their energy and their mood and their focus. And it's like, great, we can help you do that. And some people just want to take medicine, which is clearly not my mindset, but it's one of the options. And, you know, here are the pros and cons of taking medicine. Other people want to do it with supplements. And, you know, it's not my job to tell people what to do. It's my job to give people the options. And if you want to really get healthy, here's the plan. And in my experience, it doesn't work well in baby steps. It works well when you jump the canyon. When you really get involved and do this plan for at least a couple of weeks to see if it works for you, which means brain envy, avoid any foods that are potentially toxic, and only engage in brain healthy habits. And in the new book, Unleash the Power of the Female Brain, I give them a very specific diet that we have found just works over and over and over again. And I list the 52 my 52 favorite brain healthy foods, because it all starts with food. You know, your brain uses 25% of the calories you consume. So if you're on a fast food diet, you have a fast food mind, and you're not going to think or feel nearly as well as you could. A lot of our patients live to eat, and we really try to convince them to eat to live. And the coolest thing is what we've discovered, and my wife has now written 5 books, 3 cookbooks, is that you can take food that heals your body and make it taste amazing. So that, you know, the burgers and fries really do end up tasting like cardboard, because when you eat them, you actually realize they're making you sick. And last night we had, of all things, a great salad and chicken tenders that, because we have a young one, and my wife figured out how to take, whole, free range, grass-fed, no antibiotic chicken with almond meal and a little bit of egg, and put them in some coconut oil, and they are amazing, and they're totally good for you. It just takes the right mindset, the right level of creativity, and the right decisions. And it is the quality of the decisions you make that determine your longevity. I love that. I talk about in the new book, Unleash the Power of the Female Brain, about this study from Stanford where they evaluated 1,548 10-year-old children in 1921. And then Lewis Terman and subsequently other researchers evaluated these kids and then adults over the next 90 years, looking for what went with success, health, and longevity. And the answer was so interesting. It wasn't happiness or a lack of worry. In fact, the don't worry, be happy people died the earliest from accidents and preventable illnesses. And I have to tell you, before I read that study, I always wanted to be one of those people, like my older brother. He just doesn't worry about anything. He plays a lot more than I play. And I always wanted to be like him until I read this study. And he's also 150 pounds overweight because he wasn't taking his health seriously enough. They also said the people who lived the longest, well, one, they were conscientious. They made good decisions. The second thing is they had something in their life they were passionate about. And the people who worked hard, so I've been accused of being a workaholic, and I always hate that because it doesn't feel like work. I love what I do. But the people who are like truly engaged in their lives, they live the longest too. So it's about decision-making and passion. And then I think it's about the right habits.
So decision making, is it possible, Dr. Amen, to reverse some of the bad decisions that we've made that might have negatively affected our brains over the course of our lifetime? In other words, is there a way, if we've done damage, can we come back from that?
Well, that's the most exciting thing I ever tell people is you literally can change your brain. And when you do, you change your life. So of the 80,000 scans we've done over the last 22 years, many of them are before and after scans where we have rehabilitated people's brains, saw radical improvement, and then their judgment was better, their energy was better, their mood was better. In the beginning of the book, I tell the story of Marianne, who at 59 was going to quit the job she loved. She's the Western Regional Director for Franklin Covey, a wonderful business consulting organization. And her daughter, who knew my work, gave her a copy of one of my books. And in 2 months, the brain fog she suffered from lifted. And a year later, she had lost 60 pounds. But that wasn't the deal. And that's what we always tell people. Weight loss is just the cool side effect of getting well. Is she introduced me at a meeting and she said, for my 60th birthday, I gave myself a fast-acting brain with the wisdom of age. And we're the ones that did the big NFL study demonstrating long-term brain damage in football players if they play football. But the point of the study, I think most 9-year-olds would have figured that out. The NFL just took a long time admitting they had a problem. But the exciting thing was the follow-up study we did. What we were able to demonstrate with 80% of our players who had cognitive impairment within 2 months reported significant improvement, and they had better blood flow to their brain. We are so excited about it, and it's a very similar program in Brain Envy, avoid bad, do good. But where female brains are different is they need different interventions. So there's a study from Canada that said females have 52% less serotonin than males do. And the serotonin is the neurotransmitter that helps you feel good. It's sort of the don't worry, be happy neurotransmitter. Women have less of it. so they have more anxiety and depression. And so in the book, I talk about natural ways to boost serotonin. From exercise does it. Your diet can do it if you eat smart carbs as opposed to dumb carbs. So dumb carbs are high glycemic, low fiber carbs. Smart carbs are low glycemic. I'm sorry, I may not have said that right. Dumb carbs, high glycemic, low fiber. Smart carbs are low glycemic, high fiber. So if you think of a dumb carbs pasta, whether it's wheat pasta or regular pasta, white potatoes, rice, sugar, most bread, and smart carbs are things like blueberries and vegetables and sweet potatoes, shirataki noodles. So if you focus on smart carbs, it raises your serotonin in a very nice, balanced way.
Now, willpower is a very common request that we get. Like, what can I do to manufacture more willpower? Have you found anything in your practice and in your experience that can help people to either manufacture more willpower or retain more willpower throughout the day?
Yeah, there's a whole chapter in the book on getting control of the female brain. And that was not a chapter written for men. It was a chapter on how to lose weight, how to overcome addictions, and really get control over your life. And there are a couple of very simple things. Balancing your blood sugar is the first one. Low blood sugar levels are associated with low blood flow to your brain, more bad decisions. Sleep is just critical. You get less than 7 hours of sleep at night, you have less blood flow to your brain, and you have more bad decisions. There's certain supplements that can help. We have a craving control formula we like a lot. It has green tea in it that helps to boost blood flow to the brain. It has chromium and alpha lipoic acid to balance blood sugar. And one very interesting supplement not very many people know about called N-acetylcysteine, that there are 7 studies now showing it decreases cravings for things like alcohol and marijuana, cocaine, gambling, hair pulling. And getting the right nutrients is absolutely essential. But you find when you do the brain healthy thing, brain envy, avoid bad, do good, boosting serotonin levels, and there are certain supplements that can do that as well, that now you have a program that not only gets you a better body, it gets you a happier, more focused brain. And when you do that, your skin's prettier too. So I like how, you know, a number of years ago I figured out, it's like, goodness, you do these 10 things, you get thinner, smarter, happier, and you look and feel younger.
Body's all connected.
It's all connected. And a lot of my patients say when they're on the program for like 10 weeks, people come up to them and go, hey, did you have some work done? And I just say, this is like the cheapest form of plastic surgery. In the process, you're preventing your risk for Alzheimer's disease.
Now, you've literally worked with thousands of people. Can, as a final question, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see people do when they're trying to implement a brain healthy lifestyle?
Well, the first thing they do is they go on crazy diets. You know, I hate the HCG 500 calorie a day diet. I hate it because, first off, it doesn't teach you how to live a real life. Yes, you may lose weight quickly, but there's actually some evidence if you don't eat enough calories, your brain begins to damage itself because it begins to dissolve itself to get some of the nutrients. So I think really low calorie diets, not smart. And it doesn't teach you a way to live. My goal is never to help you to lose 10 pounds. It's to get control of your brain and your body for the rest of your life. The second thing they do is they overexercise. You know, no exercise at all is bad for your brain because you don't help keep your blood vessels nimble. But overexercising damages the brain. It produces too much cortisol. Cortisol is the stress hormone that has been found to shrink cells in the hippocampus, the major memory structures of the brain. So I really like bursting exercises and weightlifting. So go for a walk four or five times a week for 45 minutes, and during that time, run for, you know, 4 or 5 1-minute bursts. I mean, like, really run. Don't be shy. But I don't want you running for 45 minutes. It's just, it's not good for your joints. It's not good for your breath. You get something called Cooper's droop. It's the ligament that holds up the female breast tissue. And it's too toxic for you. And I also want you to lift weights. A lot of women go, oh, I'm not going to lift weights. I don't want to be big. And it's like, look at 5 pounds of fat versus 5 pounds of muscle. 5 pounds of fat is radically bigger. You know, it's 2.5 times bigger than muscle. Plus, the stronger you are as you age, the less likely you are to get Alzheimer's disease. It also boosts testosterone, which helps you with libido, mood, and memory. Another mistake people make is they can cheat. It's like, oh, you know, I'll just, you know, have this one piece of cheesecake. Having a sugar burst drops your testosterone levels by 25%. So if you and your husband share the cheesecake at the restaurant, nobody gets dessert when they get home.
Well, Dr. Amen, I can't thank you enough for joining us and giving us your expertise here. And can you just give us a little bit more information about the book, where they can find it, where they can find more information about you? I know you have a ton of free resources on your website as well.
So they can get the book most anywhere at the moment, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, bookstores. They can also get it on our site at AmonClinics.com. We have a special, if they buy the book on the site, they actually get my wife's new book, The Omni Diet, free. They can also join our community for $1 for 2 weeks, see if they like it. They can take brain tests and play brain games and get over 300 brain healthy recipes. We're just really excited to be able to touch your audience and offer the resources we have to them.
Thank you very much. And, you know, please be sure to contact us when you get the male brain book done as well.
It'll be a much shorter book.
Thank you, Dr. Amen.
Thank you so much.
All right. Okay, you take care. Bye-bye. Hey, guys, I hope you enjoyed that interview. You know, a lot of his message is actually quite basic, quite simple, quite fundamental. But that's where a lot of the magic lies. The bottom line is, if your brain is healthy, you'll be able to make better lifestyle choices. You won't suffer as much with poor willpower or poor self-discipline. You'll have the mental energy that you need in order to push away the fattening stuff and get up and move and take action on your new healthy lifestyle. If your brain is unhealthy, however, then it's going to be much harder for you to implement the same activities and the same actions, okay? So let's get out there. Let's make for healthy brains and make some good decisions, and we'll see you at the next podcast. If you haven't checked us out on Facebook, do so. Just search for Cut the Fat Podcast, all one word. Find us on Twitter at CTF Podcast and on the web at cutthefatpodcast.com. We'll see you next time. Something new, a little twist of what you know.